Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be reacting to last night's Championship action. A big win for Neil Harris in his first home game in charge of Cardiff. Alexander Mitrovic returns for suspension and scores yet again. And Luton securing a pretty impressive victory, as well as Leeds going to the top of the table. So we'll be reacting to that more in depth about Cardiff and Luton. We'll also be looking ahead to tonight's action in the Championship as West Brom look to return to the summit of the Championship table at home against Bristol City. We'll also be talking about Middlesbrough, a huge game down in the relegation zone between themselves and Barnsley, with the pressure only increasing on manager Jonathan Woodgate. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. That number again, 0208 7020 558, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon. Not only Champions League in action this week, but also a midweek round of fixtures in the Championship. So let's look back at last night's action. As I mentioned, a significant result for Neil Harris in his first game in charge of Cardiff. Obviously, they drew 2-2 in his first game away at Charlton on the weekend. They came from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 in that game. They won 1-0 at home against Stoke. Not exactly the most exhilarating game, but I don't think Neil Harris will care that much, if we're being brutally honest. Leandro Bacuna with the goal for Cardiff in the 11th minute, securing all 3 points for them. Then to Craven Cottage, Fulham looking to back up a win on Friday night at home against QPR, and they did it in pretty emphatic style at home against Derby, who have been impressive at home, 5 successive home league victories, but it's now 4 successive away defeats for Philip Cocu's side, as Fulham ran out 3-0 winners. Bobby Reid opened the scoring inside the opening 10 minutes. Alexander Mitrovic, who was suspended on Friday night, they didn't miss him there, with Abubakar Kamara scoring twice when he returned with yet another goal, well into double figures now for the season. He scored just before half-time, and then Tom Cairney, right near the end of the game, sealed all 3 points for Fulham. At the John Smith Stadium, it finished all square between Huddersfield and Swansea. Jay Fulton had given Swansea the lead inside the opening 20 minutes, but another goal for Carlin Grant just before half-time made it 1-1. No more goals in the game, although Trevor Chalobah was sent off near the end of the game. For Luton and Graham Jones, a huge result for them at home. They'd had 5 straight defeats, looking to avoid 6 straight defeats, and they have done so. Despite going 1-0 down to Charlton early doors, Jonathan Lecco, on loan from West Brom, had given the away side the lead. But 2 goals from Mpanzu and Izzy Brown. He's had plenty of assists this season so far, but scored his first of the season to give Luton all 3 points. That feels like a really significant result for Luton, which takes them out of the relegation zone. They are up to 20th in the table, 3 points now secure from relegation. At the Den, it looked like Millwall. It looked like a game on paper that Millwall should be winning quite easily, but they had to come from behind twice to secure a 2-2 draw against Wigan. So a bit of frustration there for Gary Rowett, that a game that you expected Millwall to comfortably win at home, It did not turn out like that, and they had to come from behind to draw 2-2. And at the Medeski, Reading lost 1-0 at home to Leeds United. Jack Harrison scored for Leeds late on, which does mean that 87th minute goal means that Leeds are top of the table as it stands. Obviously, West Brom, as we mentioned, are back in action tonight against Bristol City. But for the time being, Leeds are back on top of the Championship as it stands. So, as I mentioned, 18 games in for Leeds. They are top on 37 points. West Brom, with that game in hand, just 1 point behind them. Fulham are now up to third. They could drop down a position if Preston are to win tonight, but they are up into third. At the bottom, Barnsley, who are in action tonight against Middlesbrough. What a huge game that is at the Riverside for a number of different reasons. Barnsley bottom on 9 points. Stoke, after back-to-back wins under Michael O'Neill, that loss at Cardiff means they're still second from bottom on 14 points. Middlesbrough drop into the relegation zone with that game in hand on 14 points. Wigan are on 16. They drew, as I mentioned, at Millwall last night. Luton, a huge win after 5 straight defeats. They win to take themselves onto 17 points, 3 points clear of the relegation zone. So in a couple of important victories for Neil Harris personally, his first win as the Cardiff manager and a first win in his first home game. For Fulham, it just feels like momentum is building after an inconsistent start to the season. I mean, you could pretty much say that for most teams in the Championship. They are building a bit of momentum. And when you have someone like Alexander Mitrovic up top, who just scores so many goals, you're always going to be in a good position. For Huddersfield, they're just slowly accumulating points. They drew 1-1 on the weekend against Birmingham. Not a bad result last night for them. 1-1 against Swansea, who are currently fifth in the table. So not a bad result for Huddersfield, as I mentioned. An important result for Luton. Millwall will be frustrated, and Leeds doing a good job at the moment. Currently top, but they could slip back down to second after tonight's games. So looking ahead to tonight's game, we've got plenty of them again tonight. Blackburn take on Brentford at Ewood Park. Hull take on Preston. The biggest game, though, does feel like it's at the Riverside Stadium. We're going to be getting more on Middlesbrough later in the hour, but the pressure is only increasing on Jonathan Woodgate, and a massive game for them at home against Barnsley, who themselves have changed manager. It took them a long time to replace Daniel Stendel, but Gerhard Struber is in. He lost 3-2 in his opening game away at Blackburn on the weekend. But as I mentioned, Barnsley, who are away from home at Middlesbrough, they are bottom on 9 points, 7 points away from safety. They're drifting further and further away from the safety mark. And Middlesbrough at home, they are currently inside the relegation zone after Luton's win last night. They have dropped down in there. A win will take them out of the relegation zone again, but even a draw wouldn't take them out of the bottom three. So a huge game for Jonathan Woodgate. We've been constantly told that the fans retain all faith in him, that the hierarchy, the board at Middlesbrough completely back him, but you wonder how much longer that can last if Middlesbrough continue to languish in the part of the table that they are. QPR take on Nottingham Forest. QPR looking to bounce back after losing to London rivals Fulham on Friday night. Sheffield Wednesday host Birmingham, and West Brom, as I mentioned, looking to go back to the top of the table. Actually, a point for them wouldn't take them to the top because Leeds' goal difference is just ever so slightly better. But a win will take them back to the top. They host Bristol City, who start tonight just outside the playoff position. So a pretty big game there. A quality game. It should be on show at the Hawthorns. Just another bit of Championship news to bring you. And for Derby fans, it obviously has been a whirlwind of a season so far. Obviously, the news was brought in August that Wayne Rooney will join as a player coach on an 18-month contract. Well, obviously, it wasn't designed to be until January. However, he is set to make his first appearance as a Derby coach in Saturday's Championship game against QPR, which is at home. Obviously, he can't play for his new club until January, but there is nothing stopping him being in the dugout in a coaching role. Philip Cocu has suggested Rooney could join him on the touchline. He said after the defeat last night that Rooney will be important for Derby because he's a natural leader and this is something that they struggle with. Reading the game, seeing what is necessary at moments, and also verbally, if somebody is not doing his job, getting everybody switched on. We don't have to talk about him as a player, but his experience will be very important for a lot of the young players in the squad. Obviously, he spent 18 months Rooney in Major League Soccer at DC United, but that deal has now expired at the end of the MLS season. He spent a couple of weeks training at Derby before taking a break and will now embark on what is being termed as a pre-season training program in an effort to get him ready for the 2nd of January fixture against Barnsley. So Wayne Rooney is not going to be available until that month starts. So he's not going to be playing on the field for Derby over the next few weeks, but from the sounds of it, when Derby play at home against QPR on the weekend, he could even be on the touchline with Philip Cocker. You wonder how on earth this dynamic is going to work. And you never know, really, until they start, how a player is going to be as a coach or a manager. Because you can always have an idea. You may think, oh, this person's, during their playing career, he would be a logical fit in management because he has the leadership qualities. But then we spoke to John Parkin, the former Preston and Stoke striker, last week, and he talked about he played with Alex Neil at Barnsley when they were both very young. And he said at that point, now granted they were still early in their playing careers, he said that at that moment in time, he didn't envisage Alex Neil going on to manage, that he didn't see him as manager material. However, now he's doing a good job at Preston and is has been a manager for a number of years. So it does show that just because it's this old adage, doesn't it, that you most of the time actually that when you're a better player, you're not so good a manager, Ryan Giggs, and actually those who aren't as good tend to be better managers. Obviously, that there are exceptions, as producer Laurie just says in my ear, Zinedine Zidane. Of course, there are always exceptions to the rule, but I'm just saying it's not a guarantee. You don't need to be as good as someone like Zinedine Zidane to necessarily be a good manager. But I tell you what, Derby, I wonder whether now they're thinking about it, especially obviously you could never have foreseen what was going to happen off the field with obviously the Richard Keogh, Mason Bennett, Tom Lawrence situation. However, I just wonder whether now they're thinking, was it really the wisest thing to do to bring Wayne Rooney? Because inevitably, Wayne Rooney will bring a lot of media attention. It will bring a completely different spotlight. This is one of not just the most well-known footballers, it's one of the kind of most well-known celebrities in this country. And obviously, having played now in America, he's now a worldwide name, isn't he? Everyone knows who Wayne Rooney is. So there's going to be an added attention on Derby. After what's happened, Wayne Rooney has not always been in the headlines for the right reasons. You wonder whether if Derby could have their time again, if they were to know what was going to happen, would they have changed their mind? Would they have made a different decision? Would they have not brought him on board? Ultimately, we'll never know because they couldn't have foreseen what was going to happen. But it is certainly going to be entertaining what's going to happen at Derby with Wayne Rooney going in. How is he going to be as a coach? Also, how is he going to play? Obviously, he moved over to the MLS to play for DC United 18 months ago. And seems to be playing quite well over there, but obviously the MLS isn't exactly of a great quality. How would he come back? Obviously never played in the Championship, spent his whole career at Everton and then Manchester United. How will he deal with life in the Championship? And also, how will he do in a coaching capacity? And how will that dynamic work between Philip Cocu and Wayne Rooney? Should certainly be entertaining. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking about Luton and Middlesbrough later in the hour, but up next, we're going to be talking all things Cardiff.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Also, if you miss either the Premier League Fan Show or the Championship Fan Show, you can listen to the podcast available on Audio Boom, both in terms of if you type in Premier League Fan Show, you can find that and the Championship Fan Show for that one. So if you miss any of it and want to listen again or want to listen to it, make sure you go on to Audio Boom to listen to either the Premier League Fan Show podcast or the Championship Fan Show podcast as well. As I mentioned, Neil Harris secured his first home win in charge of Cardiff, his first win as the Bluebirds manager. To talk all things Cardiff now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ben James, writer and founder of View from the Ninian. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ben. It wasn't the most glamorous of games, described as a scrappy Tuesday night game. Wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing, but I'm guessing just the all-important thing was all 3 points.
Yeah, I think, you know, after two games into Neil Harris's kind of tenure as Cardiff manager, and we've got 4 points now, and I think getting that home win. Like you say, it's a Tuesday night against Stoke, who are kind of resurgent at the moment, and laying down that marker at home was more important than any performance. And I think as much as we got the 3 points, a clean sheet will be as equally as pleasing, because I think those clean sheets have been hard to come by for Cardiff this season. So a 1-0 win is pretty much the perfect home start for Neil Harris, no matter the performance.
When Neil Harris came in, Ben, it was met with, the appointment was met with a significant amount of negativity, and the worry was about the style of play as to whether it was going to be another Neil Warnock in terms of not exactly great to watch. What do you think the view will be coming out of this game? That obviously it's a results-driven business at the end of the day, so 3 points is all important, and getting your reign off to a decent start. That's 4 points now out of six for Neil Harris. But will the concern with only 34% possession, it wasn't the greatest game other than perhaps a bright start in the game for Cardiff, that will there still be lingering concerns over the style of play that Neil Harris is implementing?
I think there will always be question marks. I think there's always going to be people who point to possession as the kind of be-all or end-all, or people who point to, say, shots or passes, that kind of thing. But I think, say, we've had two games so far, and I think I've seen enough kind of encouragement, especially from Saturday's game, where we played a quite a nice high press, where we pushed the players and we made sure that we were kind of not letting the Charlton players settle on the ball. But we also matched that with, I think we had 23 shots at the weekend, which is, I think, the most we've had all season. So I think it's about getting his ideas across at the moment. I think Marlon Pack said it best after the game, that we're 7 days in actually with this gaffer. So they barely had a week together yet, and we're, like you say, 4 points from six. We've seen encouragement in the amount of shots we're having. We scored 3 goals in those two games, and I think, you know, I think it's signs of encouragement at the moment. And I think once he has more time and more chance to implement his ideas even further with the play, if we can, you know, get that consistent high press, work well off the ball together, and match that with the amount of shots we're having, then I think that the fans can't not be happy, really.
You mentioned there about the clean sheet, which was perhaps one of the biggest things, the biggest takeaways from last night's win. After the game, Neil Harris was talking about how his side managed to limit Stoke's opportunities. Sometimes you need that one moment. Delighted with the end product of a clean sheet. Is that maybe the first step, that the foundations are being laid as to making sure defensively Cardiff are all solid, well organised, and from there you build rather than trying to score loads of goals and then try to improve defensively?
Yeah, and I think the biggest criticism of Cardiff so far this season has really been that, you know, we signed Aidan Flint for a lot of money. We paired him with Sean Morrison, and neither of them have been performing particularly well. They both look a bit cumbersome. They both kind of have the same weaknesses, which means that centre-half, we look very brittle. And I think coming in on Saturday, I know the both Charlton goals were deflected, but we looked a little bit shaky at the back. But the second half, we were so much better. And last night against Wigan, who, you know, let's not be honest, they're no slouches in attack. They've got people like Tom Ince playing for them. They have people like the youth coming off the bench. And I think to keep them at bay for 90 minutes, especially when Mike O'Neill's come in and started turning them around a little bit, I think it was hugely important. And I think if we can get the defence working well, if we can get them solid and you know, cutting out the silly mistakes and not conceding too many goals, then I think it's all there to be built upon for the second half of the season.
You mentioned there, Ben, how obviously this is still very early in Neil Harris's reign, only 7 days under the new manager. How long do you think it will be until we really perhaps get to grips with what a Neil Harris Cardiff side is going to be about? And how do you think he's going to use these next 5 or 6 weeks, in particular looking ahead to the January transfer window, which is his first opportunity, if he wants to maybe make some adjustments, either bring a few players in or let a few players go? What do you think he will be looking to do over this next month or so before the window opens?
Well, I think he's, at the moment, he's kind of assessing his options. I think we've seen the kind of forgotten men in terms of Gary Medine. He started the last two games and he's looked quite good. For my money, I think he made the assist last night and had three or four chances on Saturday that on another occasion would have gone in. So I think he's assessing what we have up front, because I think that's been one of our problems this year, that none of our strikers have scored goals, really. We've got Bogle, Ward, Glatzel, and now Medine up there, but I think it looks like he's going with Medine. So then it's kind of what happens then in January. Do we get rid of people like Bogle, who aren't kind of cutting it at the moment? Do we sign another striker? And then I think in terms of everything else, I think it's just kind of, we've got, I think, Nottingham Forest on Saturday. We've got a few big games coming up then, with home games against Barnsley in December. And I think it's trying out the systems that are going to work best for this side. We already saw on Saturday Joe Bennett kind of Joe Bennett, our left back, who's had a poor season up until now, was kind of cut loose ever so slightly, was getting forward and getting down the line. And I think it's about seeing what players we have who can fit the roles that he wants from them, because I think we're going to be a more attacking from the back defence. I think we've got Cameron Cox on the bench, who's a young striker, a young right back, sorry, who deserves a shout, and I think he could be more dynamic than Lee Peltier, for example. So do we persevere with Lee Peltier, or does Cox get a start, and then how do we supplement Cox if we're playing attacking fullback? So I think there's three or four considerations from Harris's perspective that he will kind of monitor over the next month, and I think January we might see some movement in those key positions, mainly striker and the fullback positions.
Looking at where Cardiff are at the moment, they're 10th in the table on 25 points. Now, granted, some teams haven't played, obviously, mm-hmm. until tonight, so there's a bit of discrepancy in terms of how many games have been played. But as it stands, Cardiff are just 4 points off the top six. Maybe that might change, obviously, as a result of tonight's games. But I remember at the start of the season, Mehmet Dalman said that the objective was, and I suppose it's no surprise, to get back into the Premier League, because you don't want to be stuck down there, because every year that you are is more and more challenging to get back into the Premier League. Do you think that the fact that Cardiff have made this change mid-season changes those objectives, or is it still a case of, ideally, and the main objective is to get themselves into either a playoff position or an automatic promotion spot, to get back into the Premier League at the first opportunity?
I don't think anyone could have predicted the start of the season we had in terms of its inconsistency. But like you say, I think it still surprises me that we are 4 points off the playoffs when things have been seemingly as bad as they have been. And I think it shows how ridiculous this league is. And I think now we've made the change, you know, we've got a couple of weeks now, you know, where things start to kind of take shape, and then we have a real assault on the second half of the season. I think Fulham showed it two seasons ago that if you go 23 games, I think it was, in the end, they went unbeaten, and you really kind of put a run together, then the second half of the season is where everything can change. And I think we've already started to see teams drop off of this slightly. I think QPR started really well, and they're slowly dropping off throughout the league. People like Hull have probably not maintained the kind of form that they wanted. And I think if we can just start pulling a run together and start maybe between now and Christmas, and then strengthen in January, and then push on in the second half of the season, whether that's unbeaten for the whole second half of the season like Fulham did, or whether that's just winning more games, because I think we've drawn almost half of our fixtures so far. And I think turning some of those draws into wins will actually tip us over into that playoff kind of contention. I think we play Forest on Saturday, and to see that they're only 4 points ahead of us means that if we do get that win at the City Ground on Saturday and we start clawing back that space, then all of a sudden we can start looking up the table rather than looking over our shoulders, and that's a huge psychological boost.
I mentioned earlier how when Neil Harris's appointment was announced that it wasn't necessarily met with an overwhelming sense of positivity. Do you think ultimately, Ben, that so long as wins come, it doesn't really matter what the performance are like? If Cardiff go on a winning run and start moving into playoff positions, then not the greatest style of play won't exactly get on fans' nerves? Or is there that desire for, ultimately, obviously they want wins, but they want it combined. They're willing to maybe sacrifice a few wins here or there so long as they're watching an entertaining style of football?
I think, and I think this is just an overarching kind of attitude from Cardiff fans. I think it might not necessarily be about attractive football and whether we pass it along quite nicely. I think, you know, when Fulham were chasing us close 2 years ago, they were praised and almost overpraised for their brilliant style of football, while we were just getting wins and grinding out those results. I think what we've seen at the start of this season is that the players seem to have taken their foot off the pedal. They don't seem to be willing to work as hard. And I think all we can ask for from someone like Neil Harris coming in is, yes, he gets us those wins, but in the process of getting those wins, our team work hard, and they work hard for each other. We don't, you know, let our defence kind of chase down balls, and they chase down tackles when it might look lost in other circumstances. And I think ultimately, if you're a football fan and you're traipsing halfway across the country to watch your team play away, you don't want them just to roll over and give up the result. You want them to at least try. And I think a lot of fans will understand if you're 2-0 down and you try and push the game and work that little bit harder, but ultimately lose 3-0. Just as long as you see that fight and see that heart that you want from the players. And I think Harris has set out his goal early to say that he's going to get the players working hard. And I think we saw it on Saturday against Charlton, especially in the second half. We really took the game to them and really showed that there was a bit of fight in this team. And I think if we can push towards the playoffs while fighting tooth and nail for each result, then I think most Cardiff fans will be happy. I'm not going to say all, because some would have rather Jose Mourinho come in than Neil Harris. But you can't please everyone. But I think you'll please most by just giving us a bit more attitude and a bit more fight.
And just finally, Ben, looking ahead to the next fixture on Saturday, it's away at Nottingham Forest, who have made a pretty good start under Sabri Namuchi this season. They actually have a couple of games in hand. In theory, they can move up to as high as third place if they win both those games. So is this going to be a real test for Neil Harris' side and of Neil Harris himself, that obviously Charlton wasn't easy away and last night home Stoke had won back-to-back games, but this is the toughest of those three games and it's away from home as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's kind of one of those marker games, really, where we can see where we are in comparison to people, see where we are in comparison to where we want to be in the table. And I know Nottingham Forest have played well. They've got good strikers scoring goals, but they don't seem to score that many goals. I know Graben's got a few, but if you look at their results, there are lots of 2-1s, 1-0s, 0-0 draws even against teams like Bristol. So I think it's there for the taking somewhat. And I hope that we go into Saturday's game, and if we get the result and we know that we can beat those teams in the playoffs, then that again gives us a confidence boost that shows that we can actually match it with the people who are going to be in the top six and top eight towards the end of the season. I think it's almost like these two games are a bit of a kind of gimme, the Stoke games and the Charlton games, and Saturday is the next test, really. And if we get 3 points, then I think a lot more Cardiff fans will see Harris as a good appointment.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ben. That was Ben James, writer and founder of View from the Ninian, talking about Neil Harris's first win in charge of Cardiff. It was his first home game, a 1-0 win. It was a bright start in the opening quarter of an hour when Leandro Bacuna scored. Wasn't exactly the greatest game of football after that, but a clean sheet, I think, is something that Neil Harris valued quite significantly from last night's game. And actually, only 34% possession. Maybe that is a bit of a Neil Warnockism coming into Neil Harris's early part of his reign, but it is going to take him time. He's only been in charge a week, and he's not going to suddenly be a Neil Harris side straight away. Interesting to see what Cardiff do in January. Do they look to bring in a number of players? Do they look to ship off a number of players as well? But a win is a win, and as we mentioned, Cardiff, currently as it stands, granted with a few teams to play, some games in hand, they're only 4 points off the top six, and considering Cardiff have had a very inconsistent, indifferent start to the season, I think Cardiff fans won't be too disappointed with where they're at the moment. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're going to talk about Middlesbrough later in the hour, but a side that have won their first game in six after five losses on the trot. A huge win for Luton at home against Charlton last night. We're talking more about them next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. For Luton, obviously it was a bad run for them. Five losses on the trot, but that run has come to an end after winning 2-1 against Charlton last night. To talk all things Luton, I'm sure a man that's plenty relieved actually at the moment is James Cunliffe, editor of Lutonian.com. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, James. So that losing run is over. Five losses on the trot, but it has come to an end, and they had to come from 1-0 down to win 2-1. How relieved are you that Luton have ended that losing run and they're now back on the winning trail?
Oh yeah, it's very good. I mean, it was looking fairly ominous for a while. I mean, in that losing run, you could probably only say that the defeat against Reading was particularly abject. There'd been something to hold on to for the rest of it. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's a results business. So it was looking a bit bad. And then the night before the game, Middlesbrough got a point. So that saw Luton slip into the bottom three for the first time in the season. So it was a great time to get the win. And now they're sort of 3 points above that drop zone. And it's looking a bit brighter now.
Is that a really positive sign, the fact that Luton had to come from 1-0 down, especially after the run they've been on, five straight defeats, which had meant before last night Luton had slipped into the relegation zone, that a 1-0 down inside the opening 10 minutes when Jonathan Lecco scores, surely the thought must have been, oh my goodness, here's another loss coming. It's going to be six losses on the trot. We're going to still be in the relegation zone. The fact that this Luton side could pick themselves back up, it could have been very easy to just fall away in that game and crumble. Instead, they've not only turned it around, they've got all 3 points.
Yeah, it was looking that way. I mean, in so many games this season, they've contributed to their own downfall. And I don't think, even myself, I didn't realise how ruthless this division would have been, you know, having been out of it for so long, 12 years. You really get punished for everything, and they have been. Defensive mistakes have cost them, and it did cost them again last night on 7 minutes when Sonny Bradley gave the ball away on halfway line, and then he just couldn't catch up with Lecco. So it was looking a bit shaky then. But after that, Luton really established themselves, and they got back into it within, what, 10, 12 minutes, something like that, through a goal, which you could arguably say probably should have been chalked off if there was VAR, because James Collins was either offside or impeding the goalkeeper, but it didn't, and that's something that hasn't been going Luton's way this season. I don't think they should have had a goal chalked off against Leeds at the weekend that looked fairly onside, but it was given offside. So I guess those things have evened themselves out in the space of that. And then afterwards, there really only looked like one team that was going to win it. Izzy Brown scored his first goal for the club to go with all those assists that have made him one of the top players for creating chances in division. So after that, Charlton really only had one chance to hit the base of the post from a long-range shot from Gallagher, and but Luton saw it out fairly well, so it was fully deserved.
It's as if you can read my mind, James. The next question was going to be about Izzy Brown, obviously on loan from Chelsea, scored his first goal yesterday to go with, I think, the five assists he's had so far this season, a well-taken goal. How crucial has he been and in Luton's ambition, obviously, I'm guessing first and foremost, to push himself away from the relegation zone to stay up? He is surely going to be an absolutely vital cog in the Luton machine this season.
Yeah, I mean, hit the nail on the head there with the word vital. He is exactly that. And you could see that from the Nottingham Forest and the Reading performances recently in that five-game losing run, where they just weren't up to speed as much as they were when he's in the team. He's a central part of it. Everything goes through him in attacking sense, and he creates so many chances. He's got a turn of pace. He put a couple of through balls through yesterday, which were just right on the money, and then players will soon start gobbling those up. So the longer they can keep him in the side and he keeps doing that, they've got every chance, because they can score goals, this team. It's really about trying to stop them going at the other end, because they've still only kept one clean sheet. So as long as he can stay fit, and he played his first 90 minutes after picking up that injury just before the international break, then I think it's more of a positive outlook now for Luton.
In last night's win, there could have even been more goals for Luton. Do you think that's one of the areas that Luton do need to improve on, the fact they need to be more clinical? Because I'm guessing one big difference between League One and the Championship is you don't have as many chances, and then it's the same again from the Championship to the Premier League. Or is it a case of, and I suppose a lot of teams could say this, it's just cutting out those individual errors that are so costly in the Championship?
I think it's a bit of both. There's no question you've got to cut out those errors, because if you keep conceding goals, it makes winning football games harder. But they do create a lot of chances, and they have become more clinical. I'll give you Harry Cornick as an example. He'd probably need three or four chances in League One to score. But he has been doing a hell of a lot better this season. While I'm saying that to you, he was the guy that Izzy Brown laid the ball on the plate for last night, and he fired wide. But he has got five goals this season, I think, which is a far better tally at the same stage of this season than last. So there's evidence there that they are becoming more clinical. I think you have to be, because the chances are few and far between, really. So it's at the other end, I think, where they just need to tighten up a bit.
I was going to ask you, if we'd have had you on a few days ago, James, I would have been asking, if Luton had lost last night and it had been six straight defeats, would Graham Jones's position have been approaching the untenable point? But do you think, relevant, I think, of last night's result, obviously it's a good way to end a losing run, do you think that Graham Jones is pretty safe in his position no matter what happens over the next couple of months? Or is it something that they will seriously consider, that if Luton are in the relegation zone by the time that New Year comes around, it is a new manager is something they will be thinking about?
I think at the moment he's fairly safe. The remit is one place above relegation. That's the goal for the season. And they're doing that at the moment. As I say, the only reason they slipped into the relegation zone the other night was because Middlesbrough got a point. So as long as they can stay out of it, I think he's reasonably safe. The board have got a lot of other things happening. The club and the town have got a lot of other things happening off the pitch with the new stadium and trying to get that through. The money's really tied up. It's tight. You could see that by the summer business, when nine out of the 10 players they got were on free. So I don't know if they'd have the money to pay out to end his contract early. But you know, so far so good at the moment. He's doing what the club want of him, and that's to keep them out of the relegation zone.
Looking ahead then to Luton's next game, they'll be looking to make it back-to-back wins, but it's not going to be easy away at Brentford on Saturday afternoon. Brentford currently eighth. Actually, they could be into the top six by the end of tonight if they were to win. How tough a game is it in their ambition to make it two wins from two and gain a little bit of momentum?
Yeah, well, that's the thing about this division, isn't it? The games are really hard. You struggle to see where you can pick up and make those runs of two, three games on the trot. I really, really rate Brentford. I think they're a fantastic football inside. And, you know, before the season, I would have held them up as the benchmark for what Luton could achieve. And, you know, they've got a relatively similar size stadium, although I know they're moving. So I would take a point from that game at the weekend. I think the good thing is the benchmark that they set when playing Leeds. I think undoubtedly from the teams that I've seen so far, Leeds were the best team in the division, and they acquitted themselves really, really, really well. It's just heartbreaking that they suffered defeat in the 90th minute, and they took that confidence from the weekend against Leeds into last night against Charlton. And if they can do that again, then they'll be very competitive.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, James. That was James Cunliffe, editor of Lutonian.com, and a massive, massive win. As I mentioned, five losses on the trot for Luton, and when they went 1-0 down inside the opening 10 minutes, when Jonathan Lecco, who's on loan from West Brom, gave them the lead, I'm sure a lot of Luton fans at their home ground at Kenilworth Road would have had their heads stuck down thinking, oh, here we go again. Here's another defeat coming our way. But some real character shown by Graham Jones's side. They haven't given up. And James said it there. For Luton, the ambition is one place above the relegation zone. If they stay up, doesn't matter whether it's by goal difference, whether it's by a point, that is exactly what they will take. Looking to build on that win and get a bit of a run going. But it's not easy. They travelled to Brentford on the weekend, so that's not going to be easy, but Izzy Brown is going to be absolutely key to them. On loan from Chelsea, got his first goal of the season last night, but already has five assists and has been a key player for Luton so far this season. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. Share your views on your Championship club, whether your club was in action last night, whether you're potentially a Cardiff fan happy that Neil Harris has got his first home win in charge, whether you're a Fulham fan, are you starting to think maybe even an automatic promotion spot is up for grabs? If you're a Luton fan, how relieved are you that you've ended that losing run? Or a Leeds fan that's starting to dream of promotion, but that is exactly what you were thinking this time last season and it didn't pan out well. Up next, we're going to be talking about a side that's under real pressure. They've got a massive home game against Barnsley tonight. Jonathan Woodgate will be praying to the gods for a win. We'll be talking all things Middlesbrough.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking about a side that really are in desperate need of a win. They are Middlesbrough, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Dominic Shaw, Borough editor at Teesside Live. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dominic. As I said, a massive game at home against bottom of the table Barnsley. Borough now 2 points from safety. What's the feeling amongst Borough fans this afternoon? Is it a real sense of trepidation knowing how important tonight's game is?
Yeah, I think everyone accepts it's must win. Obviously, you don't want to be in that position at this stage of the season. You know, you're looking at results last night, and when you're looking at how the likes of, with respect, Millwall and Wigan are getting on, and to hope Borough don't drop in the relegation zone, it's obviously not a position Borough have been in for the last few years. Before the home game on Sunday, you know, the absolute minimum requirement was 4 points. Preferably with the three coming against Barnsley, obviously your direct rivals and a team you should be beating at home. Borough should have won on Sunday. They were 2-0 up and absolutely coasting before the sending off. The red card changed it. Jonathan Woodgate's change at half-time, substitution at half-time, backfired, and it got to the point where, you know, when Hull equalised, you're thinking there's only one team that's going to win this. But it's Leeds away on Saturday, Forest away coming up, Swansea away coming up, although their home form isn't great. But, you know, everything considered, it is must win tonight.
You mentioned that game on the weekend, Dominic, on Sunday, 2-0 up And then Borough threw away a two-goal lead. Jared Byrne, as per usual, in inspired form for Hull. But how big a hammer blow would that be psychologically, more actually than the physical side of it in terms of where they are in the table, that mentally that would have been such a big blow, because they'd have thought, here's 3 points, we can start to get a bit of momentum. Instead, they were hanging on to even get a point in that game.
I think the players and Woodgate actually took heart. Obviously, the disappointment to drop 2 points from a winning position, but they took heart from what was the best 40 minutes of the season so far. You know, for the first half of 40 minutes, Borough were excellent, and they played a whole team that have been decent this season. They played them off the pitch. You know, I'd seen lads who cover Hull saying that it was their worst half of the season, which I think is testament to how good Borough were. The sending off changed it, and the second half, as I said, the substitution backfired, and then things didn't, you know, for 15 minutes or so, Borough soaked up a lot of pressure. They're not solid enough this season to be able to rely on soaking up pressure. But then you kind of thought they'd weathered the storm, but then Jared Bowen gets a quick fire double as he goes, and Borough had kind of, you know, they were running out of options and taking Ashley Fletcher off at half time. There was positives to take. That first half was as good as we've seen. Brittason Belonga built on his excellent performance at QPR and looked really good again. But then, you know, that's been followed by a real hammer blow with the news that George Friend's out till February, which is the last thing Borough need. Club captain, they've struggled with game management this season. They need every bit of nous they can get, and George is the most experienced player in the squad. So that's a massive blow. So I think for Woodgate at the minute, it must just feel like one thing after another.
Why do you think it is, Dominic, that the Middlesbrough find themselves in this position? Is it simply a case of, ultimately, when a new manager comes in, especially with someone like Jonathan Woodgate, who is very inexperienced, he hasn't done this before, so it's always going to take time, or are there other factors that have resulted in Middlesbrough being in the precarious position they currently find themselves in?
I think there's a number of factors. First things first, the squad isn't as strong as it was last season. You know, as we've said before, they lost players like Stuart Downing, Mo Bessage, Jordan Hugel, Aidan Flint, John Obi-Mikel, who, you know, don't need to go through what they've achieved in the game. The players they brought in, the three outfield players, Anthony Dyke-Steele, Marcus Brown and Mark Bowler, were all playing League One football last year, all 21 and younger. So expectations were tempered in the summer, and I think there was a general acceptance of, you know, mid-table would be okay this season if there was positive signs to build from moving forward. So there was an acceptance that the football style needed to change. They needed to move away from the pragmatism of not just Tony Pulis, but Ito Karanka that had come before him. Woodgate, I think, would accept now and say that he thought, or he didn't expect it to be as difficult as it's proved to change that playing style and to change the way a team has been drilled to play. So that was obviously one factor. The other factor is they still can't score goals. You know, that's what cost them last season. This season, they're the lowest scorers in the league. They've got a striker in Brittason Belonga, who probably any manager in the division would take, but they're not scoring enough. There's too much of a reliance on him. Before the game on Saturday, he scored almost 50% of the team's league goals. And then added to that, this season, they haven't got the solidity of last year, and they've conceded some cheap, sloppy goals, particularly from set pieces. And then, you know, George Friend, Darren Randolph, Ashley Fletcher, Ryan Schott have all been out. George Saville, 3-match ban. Now Marvin Johnson's a 3-match ban. You know, such is the depth of the squad, or the lack of depth in the squad. They have to recall Tyrone O'Neill, who's a teenage striker who was out on loan at non-league Darlington, and he was on the bench. You know, I overheard someone say in the press box on Sunday that Adam Clayton was the only one on the bench who shaves. Such was, you know, the rest were 19 and 20. So the depth isn't there. You know, week in, week out, we hear managers talking up the quality of Borough's squad. And I think that's probably a bit of a misconception. They have a strong 5, 6, 7, 11 at a push. But the 18, you know, you're really stretching it there. And when they have the injuries and suspensions, as they have done, you're having to rely on players who, you know, who haven't played at this level.
You mentioned, Dominic, about how tonight is a must-win game against the side that are currently occupying bottom position. They have now finally changed their manager. Would you go so far as to say that if tonight doesn't go well for Middlesbrough, then the Middlesbrough hierarchy will be seriously considering Jonathan Woodgate's position, considering that not only are they in the relegation zone now, but if they were to lose to bottom of the table Barnsley, would that potentially be close to the final straw for Borough?
The word coming out of the club in recent weeks has been that they're not panicking. You know, Jonathan Woodgate said that line, which probably wasn't his best. He didn't use the best terminology or phrase when he said about the league table being the league table was lying. But there is a general feeling within the club, manager, players and above, that Borough are playing better than what the league position suggests, and that they have deserved better results. I mean, obviously you can't cling to that forever. You know, you need to start getting results on the board. But all you can go on is what you're being told, and the word coming out at the minute is that there isn't. They're not going to panic. Now, obviously, the mood around the club can change, and if the fans suddenly turn, then that can be powerful. I fear for the reaction tonight from the stands. And Woodgate's talked up the fans at every possible opportunity, and you know, said they've been great with him, they've stuck behind the team. But if Borough were to lose tonight, then you know, you wonder what the general reaction would be like. But as I say, the word coming out of the club at the minute is that they're not going to panic, and you know, they made this long term investment. They realised that it was going to be a roller coaster ride and a bumpy road and whatever, you know, terminology you want to use, and they're looking at the bigger picture. So you've got to go with that.
And a quick fire prediction then to end, Dominic. Do you think Borough will be able to win? And I'm guessing it couldn't be a more important game against a side at a bottom at the moment.
Yeah, I do. I think that first half performance against Hull was as good as it's been this season. And there have been some decent displays, you know, although there have been some shockers as well. I think Borough will take a lot from that. The Marvin Johnson suspension isn't too disastrous, and they've got players who can come in. So I think Borough 2-0 tonight.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Dominic. That was Dominic Shaw, Borough editor at Teesside Live, talking about what is a monumental game. I don't think you can stress how big a game it is for Middlesbrough. They host Barnsley, who are bottom of the table. Middlesbrough are now 2 points from safety after Luton's win against Charlton last night. They're going to be without fullback George Friend, who's been ruled out until February with a thigh injury. They would have been reeling from drawing 2-2 on the weekend. They threw away a 2-goal lead after Jared Bowen's inspirational second-half performance for Hull. And from the sounds of it, from what Dominic's saying, what's coming out, the messages coming out of the club, is that they will remain patient. They're not about to pull the trigger, and they will keep with him. However, you just wonder how much longer that will last, that you can just about understand at the moment. I think if Middlesbrough in 3 or 4 weeks' time are in this position and they're still in the relegation zone, I'm not sure whether they will stick by, even though he is a club legend and he is very much well-loved by the Middlesbrough faithful. I'm not sure whether that patience will continue for months to come, because at some point that it might become a reality that they could be relegated. And Dominic was saying that the squad just simply isn't as good as it was last season, and you just wonder if by mid-December the situation's looking no better for Borough. You just wonder whether they might pull the trigger and they might end his time there. But a huge game for Middlesbrough. They are in action, as I said, tonight against Barnsley. Looking at the other games, Blackburn play Brentford, Hull take on Preston, QPR play Nottingham Forest, Sheffield Wednesday are up against Birmingham, and West Brom looking to return to the top of the table. They take on Bristol City. As I mentioned, we've got all those Championship games to come tonight.
This is Love Sport.
Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.